It's The Record on KUOW. I'm David Hyde. Ina Mae Gaskin's been dubbed the mother of midwifery. After a difficult experience giving birth herself, Gaskin set out to change America's approach to childbirth. My colleague Ross Reynolds spoke with her back in 2011, and according to Gaskin, despite spending a lot more on health care than any other country in the world, the U.S. still lags behind when it comes to the number of women who die in childbirth and when it comes to newborn infant mortality, and that's no accident.
A century ago, the leaders in the medical profession that were specifically geared to maternity care decided to dispense with midwifery. And they launched an incredibly successful anti-midwife propaganda campaign. And the midwives were not organized. They were too busy working, and many were immigrants and didn't speak English well. And so they weren't able to thwart that campaign at all. So we wiped out midwifery. And with that, we brought in a lot of fear and some rather brutal methods of maternity care that have plagued us for some decades. And that's not to say that all obstetricians mean to do harm to women, but when you come up with this kind of atmosphere of fear, they get miseducated in many ways, and they don't know that the process of birth works quite well.
And you is it correct that you began your work working with obstetricians?
Not exactly. I began my work. I was an ex-Peace Corps volunteer. I went to get a master's degree in English, and in the process, I had my first baby and was utterly surprised at the end of my pregnancy to find out that my obstetrician planned to have a forceps delivery without ever finding out if I could dispense with it. And I knew that was crazy. I knew about forceps. I was an English major. You have to read about this in English novels. Mm-hmm. And also was from a family with a farming background. And I had never seen a birth, but I knew that every other species could give birth, and, you know, common sense told me I could too.
Now, does the type of natural childbirth that you espouse and been working on for so many years without medical intervention, what's the safety record of that when it comes to baby mortality and mother mortality? Has that been looked at?
Yeah, well, I can tell you our own experience, which is kind of extraordinary in a way. Counting from the first birth I ever saw, we had 186 babies were born, and never needed a cesarean for all that time. And that was my training period and that of my several partners.
And I guess it's worth mentioning, too, that it's rather extraordinary that 186 births without cesareans, because cesarean sections are so common these days, more than 30%?
That's right. One in three births in the United States is that way now. But when I started in 1970, most people didn't know anybody who had had a cesarean because they were very uncommon then. But forceps deliveries constituted as much as two-thirds of all births, only in the United States, though.
Has the number of forceps deliveries dropped over the years?
That's right. It's gone down. So basically, we went from a huge chunk of women having forceps deliveries to a very fast rise in the number of C-sections.
Now, why is that, do you suppose?
It's because of no midwives. Mm-hmm. If you had more midwives along the way, they would be involved in the training of doctors, because when you have a medical student in training and the first birth they see is ghastly and scary, they become scared and it's really hard for them to get rid of that fear. If, on the other hand, you follow more of a European way of getting your doctors prepared, because you know they have to deal with pathology, but you don't scare them first. Now, you teach them how nature works, and then you go into pathology.
Now, you've written that many healthy women do choose to have C-sections, but you've written that their choices are not truly choices.
They're not informed. They've been taught to think over this last couple of decades that a cesarean is different from other major abdominal surgeries and that it's somehow easier than giving birth in the way nature intended. When in fact, the World Health Organization has told us through consensus conferences that were put together by obstetricians worldwide that you're going to lose mothers and babies' lives if you don't have enough C-sections. And likewise, if you have too many. So the ideal range is somewhere between 5% and 15%.
But what's the safety record of women who have had C-sections? Do we see a lot of maternal deaths or baby deaths for those women who have had them?
We do. Most recently, we have about three different states that have taken a real good look, or a much better look, at maternal mortality. Those would be California, New York, and Florida. And in California, between 1996 and 2006, they had a tripling of maternal death rate, with a good portion of that attributed to unnecessary cesareans. Some of the problems can be deep vein thrombosis following the operation, and that can happen in hospital after the birth, or it could happen after the woman goes home. She could have a pain in her leg. So anybody post C-section with a pain in her leg really ought to report immediately to an emergency room.
Ina Mae Gaskin is my guest. She's been called the mother of authentic midwifery. Her new book is called Birth Matters, A Midwife's Manifesta. Now, are there other methods that midwives have used, or maybe you've encountered in finding out how people do this in other countries, that have also been very effective but maybe not found their way into mainstream obstetrics?
I'm glad you asked me that. I think techniques used by Mexican midwives are absolutely brilliant. And these are women, as I said, they may not know how to read, but they know how to get babies out. They've got generations of traditional knowledge, and they can use cloth to turn the baby's position. You can get a baby to whirl around using cloth in some of a hammock-like fashion and then rolling.
So around the mother's stomach?
Around the mother's bottom, usually, in her in a lying-down position, and just to set up a little bit of motion to encourage a baby to get, you know, overcome inertia and set up a little rhythm where the baby, still in water, can whirl around inside the mother.
You've written, in fact, that birth can offer a way for a woman to explore their deepest selves. It's not a medical procedure. How does it allow a woman to do that?
It's a good thing when you're going to be a mother. This is a huge responsibility, and you want to come out of that experience, if possible, strengthened by what you went through, not weakened by it. And I found out, having gone through that forceps delivery, I just remember the separation from my daughter and the fact that I was scared of her. I had suddenly become a frightened person, and it didn't used to be that way.
And you think it was because of the way she was
delivered? I knew it was. And it was hard to overcome, even though I knew what was wrong. It was hard to surmount that. So that was a negative example, and I knew just in my bones that you're supposed to get some respect when you're giving birth. It's a sacred thing. Mm-hmm. The same thing around death. And if you approach it as this is just a meat factory and we're trying to get body A out of body B, this has widespread negative consequences for everybody.
But surely you don't think all obstetricians are like that?
Of course I don't. Yeah. Because I met these wonderful obstetricians and have on the way. So I was quite shocked around 1980. By that time, the C-section rate, which I told you was 5% a decade earlier, it had quadrupled. And I thought, now that cannot be science. So I delved into it, and I found it was not a professional decision made on the part of the American College of OBGYN. It was insurance companies that forced them to do that.
Let's go to Kate. She's listening to us today in North Seattle. Kate, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Ross. Hi, Ina Mae. Thanks so much for taking my call. I was wondering, Ina Mae, I had a baby back in November, and I had him in the hospital, but I did go with the midwives because I kind of really appreciated your perspective in your book, and I had read a lot of things about natural childbirth and et cetera, et cetera. So fast forward to my labor and delivery, and it was really long, like 2 days I was in labor. And when I got to the hospital, I labored and labored, and basically what happened was they said, you need epidural and a Pitocin. And that wasn't really what I was hoping for, and I guess I'm wondering your perspective on hospital midwifery and the incidence of those kinds of interventions and what I can do. Obviously, you can't control everything, but
sure.
The next time I have a baby, what kinds of things can I do and say, you know, have that natural experience?
So that's a great question.
Okay. Yeah. The book that was I did in 2003 that is written for people like you, Ina Mae's Guide to Childbirth, and in it I explained that the epidural, and certainly I'd want one if I was having a cesarean, and cesareans, as I explained earlier, are sometimes necessary. But, you know, the epidural allows the maternity ward to sort of manage you, and you're going to be quiet. But what maternity wards used to look like before you had epidurals. In a lot of places, you would be up walking around. That favors pushing labor forward. You also have time limits that you didn't used to have. So it's quite complicated, all the many reasons that we do these things, but there are lots of non-pharmacological ways of dealing with pain.
Ina May Gaskin, also known as the mother of midwifery. She spoke with Ross Reynolds back in 2011. You're listening to The Record on KUOW. I'm David Hyde.